I've been in the Senate for 33 years, and they claim that, and I don't even know if it's true.
He's asking, Falcon, did you hear us calling your name at any time?
It is just a number, a psychological barrier, to be sure.
Chris, you and I have made controversial statements. The Reverend Al Sharpton.
Well, I watched the basketball game last night.
I've used the N-word most of my life.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a trip to the looking glass of talk radio and life itself here. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, as well as live streaming video and audio at philhendryshow.com. Right now, our show is on live streaming video. You can go over to our website and check it out. We're at www.philhendryshow.com. That's www.philhendryshow.com. You can also check us out on Twitter and Facebook, twitter.com/realphilhendry and facebook.com/philhendry as we bring you the program each and every night. Now, we want to bring on Doug Danger here, and Doug is going to be talking with us about a story that perhaps you've heard of and perhaps you haven't. It's quite emotional in my view. I'm sure it's emotional in terms of how the families view it, of these soldiers. It's probably very emotional in terms of how the media views it. So we're going to get Doug on the line here from the Orange County Courier. Doug has been an entertainment writer for them, but Doug has also reported on the war in Afghanistan as well as on the war in Iraq. And he joins us by phone this evening. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program this evening.
So let me go through the story here, and I know that there's a lot of journalists with a lot of opinions about this. U.S. veterans criticize President Barack Obama's lengthy review of Afghan war strategy. That's the war strategy, talking about his war strategy endangering troops. But I wanted to get over to the more cogent or the more applicable story having to do with this banning of photographs.
Well, look, I know the story, Phil. As I've said on your program many times, and perhaps your listeners know, and perhaps they are not yet up to speed on who I am. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't make any bones about who I am. I have no fear saying that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And as gay man and gay journalist, I'm also perceived by some people to be very liberal. Now, the story, Phil, is this. U.S. military commanders in Afghanistan are retreating somewhat from an effort to ban embedded journalists from publishing photos or video of American soldiers killed in action there, according to ground rules. Now, this is a victory for journalists. It's a victory for a gay man and a gay journalist such as myself, because I've had to walk a very, very hard road since coming out of the closet 6-8 weeks ago. And when you come out, you realize that people perceive you a certain way. But I have been able to diffuse that because I perceive myself and I perceive the world even more clearly than people perceive me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
All right. I make no bones with the U.S. military or anybody else when I say to them, I'm going to Afghanistan, and if I see a wounded American soldier or a dead American soldier, I will take a picture of it, I will bring it back to the United States, and I will put it in my newspaper. Now, that's just the way I see things as a gay man and a gay journalist. And as a gay man and a gay journalist, I have a perception that I think is clearer than most journalists.
Well, what do you mean by that, you have a perception that's clearer?
What I mean is this. When you're a gay man and a gay journalist, you are pretty proficient at seeing through all the bullcrap. You've heard people lie. You've heard people say they're one thing, say they're something else. You've seen people say to you, oh, gay people, I got no problem with gay people. Some of my best friends are gay. Some of this, some of that. And you know they're lying. You know they're lying through their teeth. You know that when you go to a gay bar and all these straight women come in and they want to dance there, you know that they're there so they can feel free to dance with all of the weird men, you know, the gay men. I don't like to see straight women come into bars that I hang out in because I know that they're there to pretend like they're cool with gays, like they're down with gays, and I know they're not. That's what I mean about being a gay man and being a gay journalist and having that gay eye, if you will, that gay vision.
All right, well, that's fine, but I want to get back to the story here concerning the U.S. military commanders in Afghanistan and them retreating somewhat from this effort, as you said, to ban him.
I'm talking about myself, though, and this is part of my life. You were asking me about my life, right?
Yes, I was.
Well, then you got to hear the whole story. Otherwise, you become like so many of these people that pretend like they don't, you know, that they like gays. You become like all of them. You, oh, yeah, sure, you're gay, fine. Can we get past that now and get to something more comfortable?
Yeah. Doug, you and I have known each other for 10 years.
Well, don't bring up the fact you've known me for 10 years because you want to parade that in front of your audience. Because, look, I know this gay guy. And
I'm not saying that. I want to get to the story, though, about the photographs in Afghanistan.
But I'm giving you background. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You understand that, right?
Yes, I understand that.
Well, forgive me, Phil. It sounds like it irritates you.
No, Doug, I know you're gay. I know that. What I'm saying to you is I've got a story that I want you to weigh in on as a journalist.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist is the point that I'm trying to make. And the reason why I say that is because it gives me my ability, it gives me a better ability to report than most straight guys. You take a straight man and a straight journalist, he doesn't have the guts that I have got as a gay man and a gay journalist. I'll go to Afghanistan. I'll take a picture of a man that's dead. I'm not getting my kicks that way. I don't get my cookies that way. But I make no bones. I got a job I got to do. A straight man, straight journalist is going to pussyfoot around, and he's going to act. He's going to be all scared. He's going to be worried about what people think about him. I don't care anymore. I'm gay. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, yes, Doug. Okay? And don't tell me that I'm being homophobic, because I know you're gay.
Well, you know I'm gay, but do you know what it takes to go take a picture of a man that's dead in Afghanistan and bring it back here and say to an editor, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want that on the front page over my column tomorrow. Do you know what that takes? It takes a lot. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, it is what I have been doing since I came out of the closet. Now,
all right, Doug, you have said quite enough here. I need to get to this story, though. The new limitations on embeds, as they say, put in place after a flap between the Pentagon and the Associated Press over a photo of a wounded soldier who later died, have elicited deep concern.
Well, you go, well, who later died? See, you're already giving an editorial comment on this thing. I want to report the war.
Hold on for a minute. This whole thing became a controversy because this young man did die. Now, you made the statement, you're going over to Afghanistan, you're going to take pictures of wounded and dead soldiers, and you're going to come back with them, and you don't care what anybody thinks.
No, I don't. I don't care what anybody... How can I care what anybody thinks? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. How could I possibly care what anybody thinks when I tell you I'm gay? And when we talk about being a gay man and a gay journalist, and I talk about... I know you think I talk about it too much, but what I'm telling you is, these are levels that you go through becoming a gay journalist. You're gay, you're a gay man. You're then the all-encompassing gay, and then you become a gay journalist, and you're gay yet again. All of that helps you in reporting a story.
I don't understand anything that you're talking about with regard to your sexual orientation. I only know that you're a reporter, and you have said you'll go to Afghanistan, you'll take those pictures, even if the military says that you shouldn't.
The military is not going to tell me how to do my job. We've got something in the United States of America called the freedom of press. Maybe you've heard about it. You've heard about that, right?
Doug, don't condescend, man. I know it.
All right. I'm trying to be clear here to the American people what we're talking about. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right? And then we have something called freedom of press. Okay, can we agree on that? At least can we agree on that?
I have no quarrel with you on the fact that you're a gay man, a gay journalist, and that we have a First Amendment.
Okay. So I go to Afghanistan, and I got no problem going to Afghanistan. I'll go to Afghanistan as an embed. I'll go to Afghanistan as a freelance. I'll go to Afghanistan. I'll go by way of Pakistan. I don't need somebody holding my hand. Most of these straight men and straight... A lot of you straight journalists need someone holding their hand. You take a look at this guy. What's his name? Sean Penn. He had to go over to Iraq and Afghanistan and need to have someone holding his hand. I don't need that. I'll go over there. I'll take a picture of a dead body. I'll come back with it. I'll put it on YouTube. But that's not what Doug Danger's about. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want to play by the rules.
All right. Are you playing by the rules?
Yes, I am. Now that they have said they will allow in limited numbers these photographs.
Why? Why were you fighting so much for this?
Three things. Three levels. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. There's freedom of the press. And we've got an anti-war movement in this country that has been kept from doing what it needs to do to get this war stopped. Now, I'm not really interested in whether they can make an argument. What they do need are photographs.
So you want photographs of dead soldiers for the anti-war movement in America?
I'm saying that if we've got them, let's give them to the right people so that people can see for themselves as objectively as possible how meaningless war is, no matter where it is.
As objectively as possible?
Yes.
How is that objective when you say, I want you to objectively look at this photograph so you can see how meaningless war is?
I don't understand what you're saying.
That's not objective. You're publishing a photograph saying, look at how objective I want you to be. Here's the photograph.
No, I didn't say look at how objective I want you to be. I said, I want you to see this photograph objectively so you can see how meaningless war is.
And you don't realize the inherent contradiction in that statement.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil. I've been through...
Doug, I know you're gay, and I know that you've been through a lot, but you don't see the inherent contradiction in saying, here is a photograph of a dead soldier. I want you to look at this objectively so you can see how meaningless war is.
You look at a picture of a dead soldier, and what do? You start breaking into a laugh? Man, yes, boy, I feel sorry for you.
No, I never said that, and you know I didn't say that.
I look at a picture... When I see a picture of a dead soldier, I see it as a gay man and as a gay journalist. And I look at that picture and I say, I'm gay. Okay? And so you don't want to make any comment.
Comment on what?
When I look at the picture, I see it as a gay man, as a gay journalist. And
all right, Doug, hold the line for just a minute because I'm starting to get what I usually get with him. I'm getting flustered.
Well, you can't let him get to you.
Yeah, but this guy is working for the anti-war movement in America. You realize that?
I understand that.
Okay. He's talking about being an objective journalist. He's not an objective journalist at all. He's working for the anti-war movement in America. He wants to get pictures of dead soldiers so he can stick them on a website somewhere and use them for propaganda purposes. And he thinks he's got me over a rock because I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, so I can't knock him. If I knock him, I'm a homophobe.
You said homophobe, but...
I meant homophobe, but my nose is stuffed up. 877-876-PHIL is our numbers. We talk with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. The story essentially is new Department of Defense war photo rules rile critics. Now, I don't know what could rile them about this. Basically, they're saying the new limitations on embeds put in place after this flap have elicited deep concerns. They're going to allow them to take these photographs, but the Department of Defense is still going to take a look at them, and if they don't approve, they're not going to be released. You know, this is a war, and I don't understand how journalists figure they got a say in this at all. We'll be back with Doug Danger, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous, the original Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Here on a groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier has joined us. We're talking about new Department of Defense war photograph rules that are, apparently, they have been established, and you guys in the media, Doug, are still a little upset with them. They're saying that if you want access, you have to play by our rules. This is a quote from the executive director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom. Do you know who these guys are?
Yeah, I know who they are. Look, I don't belong to anyone. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I belong to an organization of one, okay? And my organization is saying what we need. I don't need photographs of dead soldiers. I just need one. They don't want us to show the faces in case they're recognizable. I'm looking for one, just one. The face of a young guy, maybe a very angelic-looking guy, that we can show to the American people as an example of the war dead of America, and yet, because we want this war to end. I'm not even asking to take a picture of the entire, dead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I don't. If his body's blown to bits, if he's missing a leg or, no arms, it doesn't make any difference.
Do you understand that there are parents of these kids?
Hey, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay...
I understand you're a gay man and a gay journalist. Do you understand there's parents of these kids that might see these photographs?
I understand that, but do you understand there's parents of kids that aren't over there yet? And if I take a picture of a guy and he's got a sweet-looking angelic face and, no arms, I can, you'll say to the... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and what I'm saying is, in other words, even if the head is off the body, and I don't want that to be, and I hope it never happens, like Al-Qaeda, as long as I've got the head, I can really help the movement.
The movement? The anti-war movement?
You know, Phil,
I'm the gay man, the gay journalist. You're not. You go, the movement. The movement. You sound all hysterical and everything.
Well, you can't insult me, man, by calling me gay.
Yeah, right.
No, you can't. You're not going to... What, you think I'm that kind of a straight guy? I don't give a crap. I don't care. I'm not Will I Am, you know.
The movement.
I'm, you know... 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Zach in Columbus, Ohio. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, Zach. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. What's up? I love your show. I've been listening to it for a couple months.
Thank you.
I think your journalist friend's a little bit misguided. First of all, it doesn't matter if he's a gay man and a gay journalist. What matters?
Yeah, it does. It matters to me.
No, listen to me for 1 second. You should not be taking pictures of dead soldiers to bring back to America for an anti-war movement. The war in Afghanistan and Iraq is justified. Do you know what happened when Clinton's administration did not follow up on Osama bin Laden? We got the towers hit. You want that to happen again?
Here's all I'm asking. All I'm asking for is a photograph of... Of a head.
You're disrespecting of a American soldiers. That
no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No. How can you say I'm disrespecting? If I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, you know that, right?
I don't care if you're straight or transvestite. It doesn't matter. You are disrespecting the people that are giving. You are disrespecting the people that are giving you the right to be a journalist. You are disrespecting. You're disrespecting.
You know, I just saw a story where a straight couple sued after being booked on a gay cruise. You're probably that kind of guy, aren't you? That you'd sue if you got booked on a gay cruise.
Okay, so what's that got to do with what we're talking about?
Now you have to
what
get
is that?
Personal with me. All I'm telling
no, I'm not,
you...
No, I'm not, get, all I'm not getting personal.
You have to have war. There's always going to be people like Osama bin Laden who is going to bomb the crap out of innocent civilians for Allah or whoever he thinks is up there in the sky that's making him do it. Okay?
If we got to have war, then why can't I have one head?
Do you understand what you're saying, one head? An American soldier?
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. But
fighting for your freedom. For your freedom. If anything,
can't I
go over there. I'm waiting to go over to
Afghanistan. Sir, I'd love to go to Afghanistan. I would love it. I don't need nobody holding my hand either. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'll go where I want and I'll do what I want.
Then why am I signed up for the military and you're not? Why am I signed up?
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm going where I need to... What? Are you trying to tell me...
I am a straight man. You're a gay man.
I hate to break the news to you, Zach. I hate to break the news. Hey, Zach, I hate to break the news. They got don't ask, don't tell. Oh, looks like you got hung up on that one, huh? I'd love to join the military, but don't ask, don't tell. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Something tells me you keep saying that so you won't have to go in the military.
Well, let's stop being gay, okay? You're gay, I'm straight.
Oh, yeah.
You can compromise. Who cares? No one cares. I don't care. All I care
I do.
About, well, I
care that I'm gay. I'm a gay man.
If people just...
I'm trying to establish. Do you know that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist? That's what I'm trying to establish.
Yes, he knows.
That's all you're sitting here saying. What
exactly.
What I'm saying is, why do we have to be hung up on gay and straight? We are all human beings. We are all human beings. Except you want to go take pictures of dead American soldiers.
Well, I would love to be able to go over there and kill me some Al-Qaeda, but they won't let me in. You want to know why? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I'm going.
They won't let me in, man. Hey, dude, they won't let me in on account of the fact that I'm gay. So I'm going to do the next best thing.
You're going to do the next best thing, and you're going to go over there and take pictures of dead Americans. You and the rest of you, those vulture journalists who are fighting for the right to take pictures of what? Dead Iraqi or dead Al-Qaeda aren't good enough for you? Dead Taliban aren't good enough for you?
Dead Taliban. I mean, look, we've seen millions of photos of those ragheads with their heads blowed off. I'm looking for...
Oh, boy, man.
You know why? Because the soldiers that you want to go photograph are doing that. They're doing their job. Let them do their job without causing stress on their families, on them. Do that.
These guys that you're talking about, these Americans, if they bring me one Taliban head and I show that on TV, do you think that's going to get anybody to stop the war? No. That's going to get people are going to want to keep the war going.
Why stop it then? If they're doing the job by blowing their heads off, why stop the war? Listen, Zach, I appreciate your call. Put Doug on hold, please.
My name's Bud.
Bud, yeah. 877-876-PHIL. You're the kind of straight guy that would sue if he got booked on a gay cruise. What is that about? We'll be back with Doug Danger on the new DOD rules for photographs from Afghanistan. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You know I'm gay.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I mentioned Monday night, a new affiliate joins us in upstate New York in Syracuse, WFBL, 1390 AM, joining us in Syracuse. We're on in Salt Lake City now. We're on in Charlotte. So a lot of markets that we were on originally with the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, and we are back on a lot of good people in Salt Lake City, so we're happy that we were able to get back on there in Utah. We have with us Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We're talking about the rules of the Department of Defense when it comes to dead soldiers and the publishing of dead photographs of dead soldiers and the photographs of injured soldiers. And Doug, I'm sure you would agree with me that the families involved of these young men, the reason why they don't want their images shown, you know, is that the families of these young men don't want their young people identified. I mean, if they're going to show, don't you think that this is enough of a compromise that you can show pictures of dead Americans? Like, you guys are so ready.
Bill, let me tell you something.
You guys are so ready to show dead Americans.
Bill, I'm going to tell you something, because I know a little bit more about war than you do. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Jeez. What a homophobe.
Yes, you're gay.
All right. In World War II, there was a very intense battle called Tarawa. You ever heard of it?
Of course I have.
All right. The Department of War at that time was called the Department of War. One called the War Department. One called the Department of Defense, War Department. There were 3,000 Marines killed on Tarawa. And the War Department of the United States government said, we are going to release color film footage of those dead Marines because the American people need to see the cost of this war, not because they were against the war, not because they wanted the American people to stop the war, not because they wanted the American people to be opposed to the war. They wanted to see, they wanted to show the American people the cost of war. And those were Marines. Those are the best we got. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And that's what I want to do.
No, that's not what you want to do. You said you're against this war.
Other than that.
Other than that. I mean, that's a huge difference, man.
What do you mean that's a huge difference, man? Hey, man, let me tell you something, man. Hey, man, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay. I don't know what you're trying to say. Are you saying, so what does that make me?
The cats that released those film footage, that film footage of those Marines at Tarawa, the War Department wanted the American people to see the cost of war, but they didn't want the American people to turn against the war effort. You want people to turn against the war effort in Afghanistan.
Well, why are you... You see, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
And no, that doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. Let's go over here to Justin at Camp Pendleton in California. That's where the Marine Corps is, Doug. And Justin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
I know where the Marine Corps is. My name is Lance Corporal Williamson. I am a part of Camp Pendleton over here. My father was a Marine. My little brother is a Marine. Okay, I want to go ahead and let you know right now.
A Marine?
You're a gay man and you're a gay journalist does not matter. That's aside. Listen, to be honest...
Can I get in the Marine Corps? Can I get in the Marine Corps if I'm a gay man? Can I get in the Marine Corps if I'm a gay man? It does matter.
You have
it does
your
matter.
Let the man talk.
Let me have
let him talk.
Talk, sir. If I see a picture of my little brother on there, dead, that is disrespectful and against all things that all code of contact. There is in many, very many newspapers, very many journals, a very honorable pictures of these gentlemen, and it says they died here, this time, this date. They do not need to have pictures of them bloody, them in their warrior combat. That is not what the families need to see. I've been to Iraq myself, and I do not need to see that. I was right beside a helipad. I do not need to see dead bodies. That is not what America needs to see. You're only fueling this so-called anti-war movement. No. Everybody in America wants everything to be taken care of. Okay? Do not be trying to take our pictures and use it for your propaganda. That is BS. Total BS.
Did you see that kid today? All right, Justin, did you see that kid today in the balloon? You see the kid in the balloon today? That balloon? Okay. Everybody wanted to see that kid blown out of the sky like he was a Taliban.
Oh, come on. No, they didn't.
Sir,
no, they didn't.
Sir, nobody wants to see destruction. The only thing that the news wants to see is so that kid is okay. Everything that you stand for is propaganda against the military itself. You're not standing for anything against the Youth Against America, who are these young teenagers who are graduating out of high school, who are willing to judge themselves and give themselves to America to defend people like you to have a free speech. That is BS.
What am I supposed to do as a liberal? What pictures am I supposed to use?
I'm not done.
What pictures can I use? I have no pictures to use.
I am not done, sir. I am being disrespectful. I'll be respectful whenever you speak. Please be respectful when I speak. All right?
Get a load of you. Get a load of you just because you're a jarhead.
Hey, Dub, what's the jarhead stuff?
It's because it is human kindness to give somebody their own time. Now listen to what I have to say.
Get a load of him.
You are loading America up with this evil that you are putting into it. They do not need
how about that?
Go ahead, Justin.
And I know that you are just a news capitalist that is trying to poison the world with this propaganda of you trying to do this anti-war. Why don't you go over there to Iraq? Why don't you go to Afghanistan?
I'd love to go over there. I'd love to, except I'm gay. They won't let me. I'm gay.
Be quiet.
I'm gay. You asked me a question, Jarhead.
I don't want the Jarhead thing. Watch it, okay?
Just enough long enough to where you
can. This guy is telling me, ask me why I don't go to Iraq. It's because I'm gay. They won't let me go over there.
All right.
No. That is not beside the fact.
Yes.
Children. Listen, here, let me have a question. I'm going to ask you a question you can answer. What if you had children that died in Iraq and that died in Afghanistan? Well, how would you feel if it's publicized all over the world? How would you feel that
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I can't have no kid.
Oh, come on. You know what? What if you had a kid brother? What if you had a nephew? What if you had a kid brother? What if you had a member of your family?
If my family was over there in Iraq and they got blown up, I'd be pissed off. Okay? And I'd want to go over there and I'd want to get some payback, but they won't let me do that on account of I'm gay and it's don't ask, don't tell. Oh, I got two words for you, son. Don't ask, don't tell.
Two words?
You know what I'm talking about.
All right, Justin, listen, great call. Thank you for your service to our country. And, of course, the Marine Corps is always welcome on our radio show no matter what. I'd rather have them on the air than you.
Oh, get a load of you. What is this, Sands of Iwo Jima?
I just would rather be listening to some people that love this country, will fight for this country. Doug, I can't believe you, you know, when you come on the air and you say, all I need is one head.
All right, I'm sorry about that, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you? We're looking for the face of war that will help the American people understand objectively. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I believe in objectivity, and I believe that objectively we need a photograph of a soldier that will help people understand this war is criminal.
That's real objective, man.
I'm a gay man.
And a gay journalist, and everything you say, apparently, is absolutely sacrosanct because you got it all figured out. Here is Jessica. Jessica, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hi, Phil. Well,
I'm always asking people what's going on. Don't you think you know what's good? They know what's going on.
Let me just ask people what I want to ask them. Go ahead, Jessica.
Okay. Well,
Hey, what's going on tonight?
Oh, not too much. Just a midnight drive in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
But
oh,
I was
what's going on?
Driving home from work.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Jessica.
Getting all flustered listening to Mr. Daniel here get totally off the point. What we're talking about is a really ethical and moral issue. Mr. Daniel.
My name is Doug Danger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
And I'm what I'm trying to do.
We understand, Doug. Would you let the lady go? Because we are up against a time constraint.
We are highly aware that Doug is a gay man and a gay journalist. However, the focus of this debate and the focus that Phil Hendry brings up is the ethical and moral issue. Do we decide to put, or do we agree as journalists, to put photos of fallen soldiers in one of their most, horrible positions that they are, in their deaths, public? Do we make them public? Do we show them in newspapers? And depending on the context that they're in, whether they represent anti-war sentiments or whether they show a hurrah for war sentiment, it just depends on the context or of the...
It's a very private moment. It's a private moment for people.
And we have to think about all those things. But I'm incredibly frustrated by the fact that Doug here seems to be so incredibly focused on the fact that he's a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't hear any of the journalist part coming out. All I hear is the gay man part. And
the journalist part, look, I said to you, I'm going to go over to Afghanistan, and I'm going to take photographs, and I don't need anybody holding my hand. They don't have to embed me with nobody. I go over there, okay? I go natural, man. I'll bring a baseball bat, and I come back with some photographs. Now, let me tell you what the gay man and gay journalist part is. You say you understand that, but the last guy that said, I know you're gay, and then I said to him, I got three words for you. Don't ask, don't tell.
And he says, oh, yeah, sure. Okay? But, see, that's the point that I made.
What do you mean three words, two words, don't ask, don't tell, four?
What?
Yeah, four words, two phrases. But the point is that we
whatever,
have
no man. You,
what you feel as a journalist on this issue. Okay, so you'd like to publicize these photos. That's great. But I was really interested in the part where Phil Henry asked you if you being a gay man and gay journalist brings some sort of an edge, brings some sort of a perspective that's different and unique than the average journalist.
Oh, absolutely does. I have no fear. I have no fear.
No, the most straight
journalists are frightened.
I definitely agree that you have a special perspective as a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I would appreciate if you not belch into the phone either.
I'm sorry. I had a Diet Coke.
Really. But
I apologize.
You had an opportunity to really represent yourself and not make yourself so incredibly frustrating as a listener to listen to, because you try and define it. And as a journalist, I find it incredibly surprising that you cannot define how that.
I can define what it brings me an edge this way, because I've been through so much discrimination. I can see through all the hooey. I can see through people who tell me, "Oh, you know, you being gay, that don't make no never mind to me," because you know, I look at everybody objective, like, you know, and I know that that's bull. I know they see me as just one big striding queer through life, and that's fine. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, when I go over to Afghanistan and I take a picture of some Taliban head laying on a rock, fine, that's cool. I ain't going to get my jollies with that, because I bring it back. Everybody wants to see that. I got to get the story. I got to get the edge. What's the story we ain't getting? Well, the story is just like that tarot I was trying to tell Phil Henry about, where they had all those dead Marines on a beach.
Fallen soldiers doesn't give you an edge. That's just a moral and ethical dilemma of how do these families feel? How does
this represent things?
What does it represent?
Is this somebody talking?
What?
Who's talking?
The caller!
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was anybody on the line.
Well, there's a lady on the line. Right, Jessica, thank you very much. Great call, and I appreciate your call very, very much tonight. 877-876-PHIL. So go ahead, answer the question.
What question?
What is your view? What does being gay bring to your job?
How many times do you want me to answer that question? I've answered that question about a half a dozen ways. A half a dozen different ways. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, okay? Okay?
Yes!
Never forget it.
I know that you're gay.
No, you know I'm gay, but you... Okay, how about... How many words is it?
What?
Don't ask, don't... It's four, okay. Four words for you. They don't let queers in the military. Phil, look, I'm part of the anti-war movement, and we don't care what any family thinks of the photos. We're here to push our agenda and not worry about feelings. Now, if you saw Sicko, and you saw Michael Moore, and he weighs about a half a ton, and yet he's talking about no good health care, you want to laugh. I say to Michael, because I know Michael very well, I said, Michael, we could have nationalized health care tomorrow. You still weigh about the same as a large male sea lion, and it doesn't make any difference, man. They're never, ever going to get medevac to you in time. Never. Not living where you live.
Where does he live?
On top of some mountain. I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. You know, what you just said made no sense. Cheryl, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Thank you for calling. What's going on tonight?
Hi, Phil. Oh,
yes, ma'am.
Sir, I have a couple points I absolutely have to make. First off, I do have a brother that is on his third tour in Iraq. Now, I understand that you're a gay man, and you are clearly very proud of this.
You got pictures?
Which is a great thing. He is thankfully still alive, although he is getting a Purple Heart for having been injured in the line of duty. You want to post pictures that will keep people and want them to in this war? You send the pictures of soldiers holding pictures saying how they miss their family. You want a corpse or you want a soldier's body on the picture? Then you send the picture from the home front after you've asked their families of them in a coffin with the American flag over their coffin.
Exactly.
Giving them
yes.
the proper
permission.
Tribute.
Permission.
Well, wait a minute. Now, the whole Associated Press... How come I'm taking all the heat and it was Associated Press that asked for this permission?
Because you're on the show talking about it. You're propping it, man. You're here.
There are two things that make up ratings. Sex and violence. You've got your sexuality that obviously you're pushing for the sex angle, and you want a soldier's corpse to ride on.
What?
And it is just really
disconcerting. Pushing my sexuality. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the reason why I bring that up is I want you to make sure... Well, you do know then.
Yes,
I
do.
I'm not sure.
Everyone who has been listening to this show for all of 2 seconds knows that you're a gay man.
Yes, knows that you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
And honestly,
Doug, what
you're
is
really
your
doing? you're really doing people a very much, you're not showing very well. You're not getting your point across. People are turning off their radios because they're sick of hearing.
We are against the war.
Look, what have you learned, Doug? If you're listening to this lady with a brother who's over there, you listen to the young Marine that called. What have you learned? You've learned that we just don't want to see pictures of our young men and women dead or seriously wounded, even if you can't see their face.
If the Department of Defense would make available to me more of these Taliban heads or some of that stuff, that they go in and they hit these guys with drones all the time. And I got to get a picture of one of that, but they won't do that. So what have I got? You know, what am I supposed to do?
I thought you were going to go in there and do whatever you wanted to do.
Oh, I'm supposed to go to Tora Bora and find me a Taliban head.
Well, that's what you said. That's what you said you wanted to do.
You know, I'm really starting to, I'll be honest with you, the way that you're approaching this is so aggressive, I really am starting to even wonder if you're gay at all. I'm really starting to think that maybe that's just something that's shock factor to catch people's attention.
So a gay man and a gay journalist can't be aggressive. Ma'am, I am a gay man and a gay journalist, and I am aggressive. Are you a homophobe? So you're a homophobe. You hate gays? Because we can't be aggressive.
No, Doug.
I have a lot of gay friends, but none of them
there it is.
As much as you have.
I just won $10. I bet one of my friends at least once tonight somebody'd say I got a lot of gay friends. I just won $10. That's the easiest $10 I ever made.
All right, look it. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for your call.
One last thing I want to say.
All right.
I know you're great. I just made you $10. But every single person that I know has said we're just like everyone else. You are going out of your way to say that is not the case.
I stand up for my... All right, I'll tell you what you do. You call up the Department of Defense. You tell them to make available some of these Al-Qaeda heads that they must have on a shelf someplace, and I'll get pictures of those then. But they won't do that. They're protecting them Al-Qaeda heads. You'd think their turds are made out of gold.
Cheryl, thank you so much for your call. And thank you very much, Doug, for being a part of the show tonight.
Which is your way of saying, Doug, why don't you traipse on off to the hottest spot in hell?
And he hangs up like a baby.
Well, you did insult him.
I didn't insult him at all. Hangs up like a little tiny baby. Anyway, thank you, Doug. 877-876, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and this is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Bill Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, rural Illinois. Now that we've talked about Pajamagram, let's get to something sexy and comfortable like prisons. Rural Illinois prison to get some Gitmo detainees. I still don't understand it, and maybe I'm the dumbest guy that ever walked the face of the earth, which I would not doubt at all. Honest to God.
That ever walked the face of the earth? Yeah, sure.
You can't be the dumbest guy.
Well, I don't know. If I don't understand what it is about Gitmo that is so evil, I must be stupid. Because now they've stopped even explaining. It's like global warming. You know, they don't even want to explain it anymore. So, no, it's just, it's taken as fact. Taken, what are you talking about, man? I've never heard of a bigger waste of time and energy and money. Now, the interesting thing, though, is that, and here again is, I believe, and there's a lot of people that don't agree with me, and that's fine, you don't have to agree with me. I don't believe for a second that Obama, honest to God, I don't think Obama gives a crap whether Gitmo is closed or not. I think there are just enough people in the Democratic Party and in the, what do you call it, shall we say the liberal branch of the Democratic Party that can put just enough heat on him to make life uncomfortable. So he's got to, sure, I'm going to close Gitmo. He's every now and again got to come up with something that makes him feel good, you know, warm and fuzzy. And Gitmo's one of these. I do believe he is very much in favor of health care, and that's, you know, that's, people are going to debate that. And I do believe that he's very much in favor of the, public option. People are going to debate that. No, I don't think the cat wanted to buy GM or have the government take it over. To hang that one on Obama makes me laugh. I mean, you got to really be, I think you've got to be working with some, you know, you need a better personal trainer or something, because that just ain't where it's at. That's something that was in the works, and we could have seen that coming a mile off long before anybody ever knew who Barack Obama was. You knew that was going to happen. My whole life, as long as I've been alive, there have been strikes at the GM and the mortar plants in Detroit, Ever since the 60s, there have been problems. The unions have had a problem. The this has had a problem. The that's had a problem. The layoffs of this, the Japanese cars, that. Ever since the big gas crunches of the 70s and the American automaker couldn't get his act together for love or money if you put a gun to his head. And the big excuse, the government, because of the restrictions on pollution. There wasn't, like we've often said on the show, there wasn't a man among them. Not a man, to quote Buddy Rich as he was chewing out his band on the bus that time.
That's the bitchinest tape that I ever heard.
One of these days, we're going to have to play that tape and beep it. Buddy Rich ripping into his band. There's not a man among you that can go out and play the job like a man.
I kind of have my head down in the bunker getting the movie done, but every time I stick my head
Dick
up...
Dick Wolf, the executive producer of Law and Order.
He's a... Long hours here.
Interrupting my conference.
You feel responsible, though, for some of the heartbreak that his wife is feeling?
Eating that chicken, my butt would be raw.
Now, isn't that lovely?
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We broadcast from the El Pacifico out here on the furthest western edge of the grand experiment of America through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. We take you each and every night. Coming up this hour, we have Gerald Fisher, a sports writer, freelance sports writer. He's also involved in writing a blog, and he does an awful lot of very serious sports reporting and sports, I say serious news reporting as well, is going to be our very special guest. And, of course, Tiger Woods is taking a break from golf. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Remember, you can go online and watch the show. Watch the show on video, live streaming video each and every night at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You can also listen to our audio, and you can download our audio. And with our site redesign coming up, we're going to have more and more things for you to enjoy from our website, philhenryshow.com. Here is... Gerald Fisher. Mr. Fisher has been a sports writer for some 25 years. He also edits his own blog. He's a regular contributor to major sports publications and has written most recently a book on the history of blacks, not only in the PGA, but in their own tour, which is called, it's called 4-F-O-U-R, right, Gerald?
That's right, yeah.
Why is it called that?
Well, there are four golfers I think you can point to who were the pivotal black golfers in the history of the sport. Charlie Sifford is one of them. I believe Calvin Peet is another who was a great shot-making golfer. And we go from there to the other personalities that helped create the black tour, which eventually was disbanded as more and more blacks began to play in the PGA.
So how do you feel? So this must be an interesting story to you. Watching Tiger Woods, watching his rise in a sport that was, and you mentioned some names, Sifford and Pete, and every now and again a black golfer would come along and really tear it up, but nobody with the ability of a Tiger Woods, who has challenged everybody, the Nicklauses, the Palmers, the Sneeds, you name it. It must have been exciting for you.
Well, it was. It's very exciting to watch, you know, because as a writer, I always am looking for something, you know, that is going to excite my readership and is going to be a great story to tell.
Right.
And this, of course, has been a great story to tell for the very reasons that you mentioned, as well as the fact that he has African heritage. And it's a classic American success story, too. So I've been very blessed, I would say. I think anybody writing about golf has been very blessed following Tiger Woods and what he's been able to accomplish.
Now we have the personal problems that Tiger Woods is faced with, and I would ask you, what you think about it. He has announced that he's taking a break from golf. I don't know how much of a break. I think he said 6 months. He may miss the whole tour in 2010. That's not only bad as for you as a sports writer because you've got less interesting golf to write about. It's not good for the game either, is it?
Well, it's not good for the professional game. I don't know if you can say that it's bad for the game. I think people always play golf. I think people are always going to be interested in playing golf. It's one of the few sports that anybody, no matter who they are, can take up and get fairly proficient. You know, if you put your mind to it and you practice and so forth. But we're talking about the professional game. You asked me the question in that context. I would tell you, of course, this is going to be a blow, I think, to the money that the tour make, as well as the brand of golf. And when I look at Tiger Woods leaving as easily as he has because of something that is unrelated to his golf life, it begins to sour me a little bit, Phil, on what otherwise has been a great experience for me, being an American and looking at our country and seeing how our country has come together.
When you say that this sours you on your experiences watching Tiger Woods leave the game?
That is correct, yes.
Why does that sour you?
Well, I don't think there's anyone that looks at this and doesn't see the hidden hand, you know, of a outraged, predominantly white media and a predominantly white advertiser base that has decided that this young black man has done something that is so egregious that he must be banished from the sport. He must be exiled from the sport. Put in his place, I think, is a far better way of saying it. I don't want to be that explosive.
But he made the decision to take a break from golf. Nobody told him to leave golf.
Well, I would beg to differ. I think that when you have major sponsors pulling out and your money, and that is the base of money that you use to operate with, is pulling out too, and you have the no doubt, no question in my mind, the leadership core of the PGA, which is a white, predominantly white, white man's club, there's no question in my mind that Tiger Woods was directed and exiled.
Gerald, are you telling me that this was involuntary?
It is what involuntary? Is Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods, you're saying that he's leaving the sport and it's rather involuntary?
I don't want to attribute to Tiger Woods any feelings he might have. I don't doubt that Tiger Woods has said to himself, well, this is just not worth it. If I'm not going to have sponsorship money, if I'm going to have to put up with a PGA at every tour stop, someone coming up to me in a blue blazer and wagging a finger at me, or a member of the press wagging their finger at me, I don't doubt that he has been frightened very much. But I think the overwhelming evidence shows that Tiger Woods has been the victim of what I call cyber fire hose, you know.
What does that mean, a cyber fire hose? Is that a reference to the fire hosing in Birmingham? You're taking this into a racial area that's pretty extreme, don't you think? If you're talking about a guy who was caught with these 11 mistresses.
Well, I want to comment. No, hold on, Phil. I want to comment. I'm not taking anything extreme. When you're talking about a black man who was with 11 white women, and suddenly the biggest draw in all of the PGA is not going to be seen on the golf course at all. Someone has made a decision that Tiger Woods needs to be directed off the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And
the Edmund... Whoa, hold on for a minute.
Let me finish my point now.
No, hold on. The Edmund Pettus Bridge. The Edmund Pettus Bridge. You mean the Selma March? You're clearly taking this to a racial place.
Well, you know, it's not unusual, though. I've done a lot of radio shows. It's not unusual to have a white host like you be incredulous. But there are millions and millions of black people listening to me right now. I totally get what I'm saying. Tiger Woods, if you ever saw the video of the firemen hosing those black people down the street, they would roll literally side over side down the street being hit with a fire water. You can easily see Tiger Woods laying on a golf course and rolling down the golf course as the figurative or the cyber fire hose of the PGA.
So Tiger Woods had absolutely nothing to do with this, that this was all preordained or ordained from on high. Get him out of the sport.
Absolutely. Like I said, look at all the sponsors that are dropping their association with Tiger Woods.
Well, there's something to be said, though, for everybody likes money. And if you want to take this down a racial road, you know as well as I do that one of the things that broke the back of segregation in the South was the fact that the boycotts were hurting businesses. Black boycotts of businesses were hurting those businesses, and so they had no choice but to rescind these, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but you don't understand that these people are dropping their support of Tiger Woods because they know that if they support Tiger Woods, there are a lot of white golfers out there that feel offended by a young, good-looking black man escorting 11 women on his arm, getting out of a limousine, getting out of a Rolls Royce with 11 white women. That is definitely going to frustrate, to use a kind word, any of those men sitting at the PGA headquarters in their blazers and smoking those cigars with the wooden holders, and drinking whatever they drink out of those glasses that are shaped like a bell, upside down bell, you know. And so they will say, I don't like that. I don't like the way it looks at all. I don't like the way it looks at all. Look at him, and he's walking around like he with that crab eating grin on his face. I need him out of here. I want him gone.
The PGA and the advertisers.
Well, the advertisers have already spoken. The advertiser's already spoken. If you want the image of Tiger Woods, that is the most accurate image. When I say cyber fire hose, I'm not literally saying a police officer taking a hose and fire and rolling him down the street. But imagine in your mind if the Birmingham Fire Department took out a fire hose and they aimed it on Tiger Woods. And he would roll down the fairway with that fire hose hitting him, roll all the way down the fairway onto the green, you know. Now, that's a very weird image, I grant you.
Weird image. I mean, I can't, you know, but you're telling me that this is what's happening.
What's happening, they're rolling him off the green onto the parking lot. That's what that fire hose is doing, the PGA fire hose and the media fire hose. And so it's robbing me of my livelihood, too.
Because you can't write about a great golfer.
Yeah, I can't write about a great golfer. I got to write about golf without Tiger Woods. I might as well be writing about croquet, you know, or lawn darts. That's about how interesting this PGA is going to be without him.
You know, the PGA still got some very good golfers.
The PGA got golfers, but great golfers, they don't have any. They have no great golfers. Tiger Woods was it. And now he has been cyber fire hosed off the golf lane.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Those images, the cyber fire hosing, it reminds me of what Clarence Thomas said once, although in his case he was right. The high-tech lynching is what he said. Gerald Fisher is our guest, and you heard him. He said that Tiger Woods has been cyber fire hosed right off of the PGA Tour because of these affairs, that the advertisers are the ones that have forced him out, that the PGA has forced him out, that essentially a predominantly white power structure in golf and the media has said, Tiger, it's time for you to go into exile. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we'd like to get your comments on that. We also have, of course, more from Gerald Fisher. We'll be talking with him about the public, and that is the sporting public's responsibility in all of this. We'll be back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil with me is Gerald Fisher. Gerald is a freelance sports writer. We talk about Tiger Woods, and you've been very, very clear that you believe that this is something that has been preordained by the PGA. He's been forced out Gerald. Now, I want to ask you, and I know callers are going to ask you about John Daly. John Daly had problems, too. John Daly was not treated kindly by the media, you know?
Well, you know, you have to understand when you talk about John Daly what it is you're talking about. John Daly did things that was directly related to the game of golf and the legitimacy and the honesty with which he played golf. First of all, he used alcohol, which is a violation of the drug policy of PGA, believe it or not. When we think of drugs, we think of marijuana or steroids or this. But he was drinking, which is a violation as well, and he was gambling.
But he didn't gamble on golf, did he?
It doesn't make any difference if the commissioner of the sport recognizes that you are engaged in placing wages in gambling, no matter what the sport. That compromises the integrity, the image of the game. So John Daly, that's a completely different story, and I know a lot of the white media wants to bring that up. And the other thing, you know, Phil, that I need to say, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but I think that the golf fans have done nothing to help Tiger. They have sat on their couch like they do when they watch a golf tournament, which was what you do, but when you have a great star like Tiger Woods, you want to step up and help a man, and they have sat there and bug-eyed the television and say, come on, Tiger, sink another 20-foot putt. Come on, Tiger, hit another fairway. Come on, Tiger, go up and down, you know, another birdie, another eagle. But they don't care that once he sinks that long 30-foot uphill, downhill, twist and turn and putt, and all of a sudden a virtual or a cyber Mississippi trooper puts a German Shepherd on him as he's walking off the course, leaning in to get his ball, and here come a German Shepherd.
What do you mean a German Shepherd? You're talking about...
I mean a virtual German Shepherd. I mean...
Well, you're saying this is racism. This is racism.
It most certainly is racism. Now, they force him out. I understand they force out John Daly. He was an alcoholic and really not much of, if you look at it, a gambler, an alcoholic, not much of a man at all. Tiger Woods did nothing to mess up golf. He messed up his marriage. I'll give you that. And yet they turned the fire hose and the dog on him. And I mean, you know, in a cyber sense. I don't mean in a literal sense.
All right, I'm going to go to some phone calls and get some feedback. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And we're talking with Gerald Fisher, freelance sports writer, on Tiger Woods leaving the game of golf for a indeterminate amount of time. Here we have Christine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher. Christine, go ahead.
Hi. I just had some comments.
Hi.
I've got many of them, so I'm trying to get them organized. But first of all, I believe that it's not a racial issue. I believe that it's a man, right and wrong, and he's wrong. And he was put in a position of leadership, and not just in his family, which to me, that is a big deal. He let down his wife and his children. How many other families he affected, who knows? But also, he was a leader. It doesn't matter if he was playing golf or what he was doing good at. He failed at what he should have done, which was, be faithful to his wife. And that is really the extent of my comment. When he started out,
the young lady, I want to ask the young lady, where in the game of golf do you need to know about having sex with 11 women? There is nothing in the game of golf about that. So you see, there's nothing in the game of golf that has anything to do with him having these relations.
Okay.
And yet they want to fire hose him down the fairway.
Okay, where in the presidency do you need to know what he's doing in his personal life as far as Monica Lewinsky, you know? It's a leadership.
But a golfer is not the president. Golfer not the president. You didn't elect Tiger Woods. You didn't elect Tiger Woods to be a golfer. He chose to be a golfer.
If you're a golfer, if you're an NBA, you are a human being, and you're called to a higher place of being faithful to your wife and being a good man. A good man is a good man, whether you are a president, a golfer, an NBA, or just a title man. It doesn't matter what you are. First of all, you're a man.
Well, no one called Tiger Woods. You're saying that God called him to be a golfer. I would love to see how you arrive at that.
God called him to be a what? a golfer?
Well, you're saying that he was anointed somehow to be a golfer. He was called to a higher place. He got to the higher place by being a very diligent athlete, learning his sport, and playing it to the highest level.
Well, if I would say that God called him to be anything, I would say, first of all, he called him to be a husband and a father. Golf would be secondary, but I never said that in the first place. I just
said, he was called, but the fact that he has had a German Shepherd, a cyber German Shepherd turn on him, do you have a comment on that?
When you say a cyber German Shepherd, he's what you're saying, Gerald, you're using these racial terms.
Well, again, Bill, I think your audience need to be educated a little bit, that when a black man is told, you go over and go back to the shack and sit down, because we don't have any use for you right now. You were seen with a white woman. That is like taking a fire hose and blasting him clean out of his Mercedes. And that was my comment.
Well, as someone being upset and using their anger to try to control a situation, that's wrong in anybody's mind.
Yeah. I agree with you.
The point is not that he's black or she's white or they're white. The point is that he's a man. And he can be just as faithful as a black man as he can be unfaithful as a black man. That it doesn't matter what your color is.
All right. I understand that.
Okay, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Is that all the ladies have to me?
I have Gerald Fisher with me, a freelance sports writer. We're talking with Gerald, as well as with you, our listeners at 877-876-PHIL, about Tiger Woods now leaving the game of golf. I got to tell you, I feel bad about it. I know that it's a drag. You know, his personal life's a drag, but I feel bad personally that I don't get to watch this guy golf. I mean, you know, we've brought up on the show many times the failings of men. They don't diminish the great things they achieve, and we've got countless examples of them through history. Many of them are leaders. Are we making a big deal out of Tiger Woods, Gerald, because of the fact, you know, a bigger deal out of him than should be? He's a golfer, you know?
Well, you know, Phil, I wrote a letter to, an email to Timothy Fincham. He's a PGA commissioner. And I said to him, if you want, look at the film footage from the 1960 of them fire hosing black people down the street and fire hosing them into the doorway. I said, I know that's not what you're doing. I said, but you are doing a World Wide Web version of that by fire hosing Tiger Woods up into his Jaguar. He can't get out of his Jaguar. You got to fire hose him so he can't come out on the golf lane. Now Tiger Woods has done everything that has been asked of him. His sponsors have had him wear lime green. They have.
What is the significance of lime green?
It's just not a color that you would see a black man wear. It is not. It just isn't a color that we would wear. But sponsors have asked him to put on lime green. They have asked him to endorse every kind of hinky thing that you can imagine. He's done everything that's been asked of him, and I think it's very, very wrong that a young man has a. Moral breakdown, if you will. He has been told by Timothy Fincham, a white man, Irish white man too, and that's the other humiliation of Tiger Woods wearing lime green. This is an Irishman making a black man wear green is an offensive to every African American out there. And I think Timothy Fincham should come out like a man, and say, yes, I am responsible. I told that boy to go sit down on his, house, and I'll call him when I need him.
Those are some pretty,
I know those words sting, yeah.
I mean, that's going to stick. You're going to get some angry people.
I call, as the man said, I call as I see it, and this is what my job is, sports writing. And Timothy Fincham, a white Irishman who forced a brother to wear a lime green shirt, and then get to kick fire hose that man back in his Jaguar.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
I just think it's wrong, Phil.
But I don't like seeing a guy walk away, but to say that there's a racial component that he was forced out, I don't know where the evidence of that really, truly is. Here is Jack. Wait a minute, Jack. Before I go to you, I want to get to a caller that was been hanging on a little bit longer. This is Renee in Irvine, California. Renee, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just want to say that I don't understand the basis of the guest argument with... because Tiger Woods has the 12 white women that he had an affair with, how that is the reason, or that is the how that's offensive to, or excuse me, why that is the reason that the sponsors don't support him anymore, as if his wife isn't white. So that all the time that his wife was white, they were supporting him. But all of a sudden, now that he has the 12 white women, now they're totally outraged by that. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Gerald, you want to comment on that, Gerald?
Yeah, I'll comment on the young lady, her statement. I think when you have a black man who has associated with and has married a white woman, there is precedent for that in our society. When you look at Sammy Davis Jr. or you look at Jack Johnson, other sporting. But when you have a young man who has broken into a predominantly white sport in a way that has humiliated Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer. I mean, he has taken all these trophies. And then on top of that, he not only has a beautiful white wife at home, he got 11 other ones that he can call up on his iPhone or Blacktop. I don't know what those things called.
BlackBerry?
His BlackBerry, yeah. That's too much for the Irishmen who run the PGA. They try to humiliate him with a lime green golf talk, but he kept on winning anyway.
And are you telling me that they made him wear lime green to somehow mess with his head?
It messed with the head with an African American. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so that's what I hope that answers the young lady.
It actually doesn't. I don't see the basis.
I'm sorry.
The whole reason for, like, anti-miscegenation laws and all of those such laws were to avoid reproduction between black and white. So how I could understand the logic of them being outraged by him reproducing and producing these half-white and half,
yes,
quote-unquote, black
is
children.
Correct.
However,
that is correct.
Did,
yes,
state, as far as I do recall, he did state that he was not black. And so that's another, you know.
Well, but you know, when you look at what, I didn't know that a man could say he's not black, and that makes it so. I live in America. I think people judge that for themselves. I don't think a black man has any choice in the matter whether he says he's black or white. I think what you see, you know, when you look at Tiger Woods, you look at a black man
that have brown skin that are not actually black.
Yeah, sure.
And
oh, sure. Yeah, I know. That's all.
She is of,
yeah, okay,
descent.
Whatever you say.
Just by looking at someone, you can't actually determine their race.
But they didn't want to have a lot of little. But I think you made the point very good. You say they don't want a lot of the little half breed run a lot of mulatto, mongrelized golfers in this. You know, so.
Boy, you're using a lot of really charged mongrelized golfers and little half-breeds running around.
Well, that's a nightmare for any member of the PGA that you got Tiger Woods to contend with, and now he is going to be producing with 11 different women mongrelized versions of himself that go out and do some kind of mutant golf where everything's a hole-in-one. He could wreck the sport. He could wreck the sport.
But the whole basis of going by the history that we have of marriage, the whole basis of marriage is...
I thought I already...
I'm sorry?
I thought I explained it to it. Well, I thought I already explained it to you.
Certainty. No, because it's not made clear. The whole point,
all right, let me say this.
Uh-huh.
If you get the fire department to fire hose a black man down the street so he rolled down the street, you can see that happening to Tiger Woods, getting fire hose down a fairway.
You know, and
he rolled, you know, and holding on to his driver. You know.
Well, what is that about getting fire hosed down? I don't know, man.
I'm a little. I have to say that I'm a little, and I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but I'm black, and
certainly,
I'm offended by your association of fire hosing. And of course, I have respect for black history and the respect for the continued oppression of my people. But it seems that the problem is your association of something that Tiger Woods should take responsibility for, because it was his infidelity that placed him
exactly
in the situation that he's in. Instead,
I mean, Gerald, that's the point.
Yes, that's the point.
Uh-huh,
that is a very good. That's a very good point, Gerald. Gerald, how do you respond to that?
I never said anything about the man doing right when he's with 11 women. I just wonder what that has to do with his golf. And when they say you can't play golf anymore for a year. They're basically, he can't even get out of his Jaguar. They got a fire hose turned on, flooding the interior of his car.
What do you mean flooding the interior of his car? I mean, that's not really a fire. You said it's a cyber fire hose.
It is a virtual fire hose, yeah. And Tiger Woods getting virtually rolled down a road, and he's rolling all the way down. He over bunkers and down into, you know, all kinds of like those pot bunkers. They fire hosed him into a pot bunker.
All right. I got to move on to another call, Renee. I thank your call.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Tony, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, please.
I don't think that young lady understood what I was saying.
Go ahead, Tony. Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that
Hi.
I have never once thought of this as a racial issue. I am offended by your guest. I think this is a case where Tiger Woods set himself up, and rightly so, as a role model for people throughout the world, for children, families, and was living a lie and has never once taken responsibility for that I've seen, except for some vague statements that he's written, has never really taken responsibility for what he's done.
I think that's a shame you feel that way, ma'am, because you are African American, I take it.
I'm not African American, but I never thought of it.
Oh,
as
well, then I don't. It's not really. That's not
African American.
Not really relevant then. That's not relevant then. You know.
Why isn't that relevant?
Well, she's a white woman. You're a white woman, so that what you're
yes,
not relevant. But,
I'm a Jewish woman, and I never thought of Monica Lewinsky.
Not the same.
Jewish. I think this guy has a responsibility to the golf world and to the world in general. He's the most successful golfer in the world, and he's more than an athlete, and he always has been more than an athlete. He has multi-million dollars worth of endorsements. Kids follow him.
You understand that you are a Jewish lady. You should not speak of Tiger Woods like he's J.C. off a cross. You know, this man, last I checked, didn't raise the dead, you know. He played a good game of golf. I followed him ever since he's a young man. But he didn't heal no leper. He didn't bring a man out of a tomb. He didn't heal twitching
a religious issue,
to some
I'm
twitching.
Saying,
well, but you said
I never thought of it as a religious issue. I never.
He never healed a man to
issue.
Twitch. You know, he
I
never healed a man twitching
are,
on the
I
ground.
Think, you know? I think you are absolutely making this a racist issue, and it has absolutely.
Yeah. I think what's really uncomfortable here, Gerald, is when you say fire hosing him back into his Jaguar.
Look, Mr. Henry, I told you this is a cyber worldwide web fire hosing. It's not a literal thing, but it's the same thing.
I agree that the
World Wide Web has fire hosed him.
Has done some amazingly bad taste things.
They've turned a German Shepherd on. And, you know, when he goes on a golf course and he sinks
a
20-foot putt and a German Shepherd attack him.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead. I'm laughing at the image of a German Shepherd attacking.
He had a German Shepherd set on him by Bill
O'Connor. He has gotten a bad deal by the web, but so what? Millions of other people have gotten a bad deal.
So what?
Suck it up.
Man's got. How about if you got a bad deal? How about if you got a bad deal? Would that be all right? Should I say so what?
If I made a mistake like that, I'd stand and admit it. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a black man and that his wife is white. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, he did admit it. He did admit it, and they still told him, "Boy, you best get now."
No one
let the sun go down on you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What is that?
They said, but you know that them white men there at the PGA said, boy, you best get, and don't let the sun go down on you, man.
Oh, but whoa, man. I mean, what is this, don't let the sun go down on you?
Well, you know that Timothy Finch in there, PGA, is a white man.
I don't even
love the clown. He loves the clown, Tiger Woods. He wants to put him in.
You should know that Tiger Woods has a role in our community, community.
That's just it. All he does is hit a little ball.
And
he hits a little ball with a stick.
Pardon me?
That's all he does, man. All he does is hit a little ball with a stick, and then he goes over and they clap. And he goes, yay, and he takes a check, you know.
He is a role model for children. He is a role model for people. He learned as a child to play. He is the greatest golfer in the world. I admired him tremendously. Now I see that he.
I thought he was.
I
thought
him.
He was a
I
great
really
golfer.
Don't like him now.
Well, I always knew he was a great golfer, but as a man, I thought he was a. If you don't mind me saying, ma'am, I always thought he was a bit of a turd. You know,
because
I never liked him.
He's such an innocent guy.
He was a great golfer, but I always thought he was stupid. Wasn't too bright. He wasn't good with conversation. Couldn't talk about nothing.
Well, that's your opinion.
He was a boring.
About his personality. I cared only about his.
Well, yes, you did. You loved him. You said he was the most greatest thing since Christ off the cross.
I admired him. Yes, I admired him.
Talk about him healing a twitching epileptic and everything. You know, and
now, she never said anything about him healing twitching epileptics.
No, I admired him.
About the man.
Always admired.
Well, you're talking about the man like he. You talk about the man like he. He heal a cripple. You know, he can't heal no cripple.
All right, I got to take a break, Tony. Thank you very much for your call. Great call. 877-876-PHIL. Try to squeeze another call in. Anita in Manhattan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with Gerald Fisher.
Thank you. I'm
talking about Tiger Woods like he heal a cripple, man. He never done that.
No, no one's saying that. Go ahead, Anita.
Yes, I would like to say that the issue is not Tiger Woods. The issue that is very important on what you're discussing is what this Gerald Fisher is doing with these reprehensible metaphors about fire hoses and German Shepherd. And all the... And this being forced to wear a shirt... This man is ill. He should be taken right off the air.
No, ma'am.
He should not even be waiting.
No black man, Timothy Fincham, who is a PGA commissioner, to get his kicks, forced Tiger Woods to pair lime green.
Who? Proof that he forced him?
Well, I will tell you how I have proof.
That's your
opinion? No black man would ever wear a color like that. That is not a black color. They wear purples, as you know. They wear blacks, as you know. They wear banana yellow. But you'll never wear lime green. And for Timothy Fincher, who's a white man, he's a white man, run by it's a white sport.
You are a black racist. And black racists have no place.
You know what a racist is? That's somebody who loses an argument.
You should be taken off the air.
A racist is somebody who's winning an argument.
And your metaphors
are
misleading people that are listening to you.
No, ma'am. Now, I resent another Jewish woman calling, and that makes two in a row. So I got a double hit here.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what does that mean?
Mr. Henry, you plant two Jew women in a row.
Exactly. A Phil?
In a row.
This man does not deserve.
Whoa.
Mr. Henry, I don't find it very reasonable for you to have a Jewish lady call in from California, and you tag-team me with a Jewish lady from New York. You tag-teamed me, didn't you?
No, I don't know these callers.
Well, then you line them up. I got a Jew on line one and a Jew on line seven. You don't do that?
No, I don't do that. I'll take a break. Thank you, Anita, for your call. 877-876-PHIL with Gerald Fisher and Tiger Woods. And who exactly did...
Is Anita there? Is she gone?
Yes, she's gone. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
There, you know.
Phil Henry.
Those Jews got a lot of time on their hand on them.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to hold Gerald over, if you don't mind, Gerald.
I don't mind that at all. I did want to make a couple of points to the one Jewish lady that had just called.
Well, we'll get to those points, but I want to get to another phone call. Gerald Fisher with us from speaking basically about Tiger Woods leaving golf today for a while. Here is Jack in Massachusetts. Jack, you're on a Phil Henry show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you, Phil.
Yes,
I've
sir.
I've been listening for about an hour, and I've got to say I'm just astounded by what I've heard. Let me make a couple points. First of all, you know, trying to put a racist spin on this, to me, makes no sense. If Phil Mickelson had done the same thing that Tiger Woods has done, he would have been treated exactly the same way. In the media, he would be in Tiger Woods' situation entirely. To say that this has anything to do with Tiger being black is absurd. But let me make a couple other points here.
Well, I don't know how you can back that up, though. You know, you don't, because that's not happened to Phil Mickelson. We know it's happened to Tiger Woods, you know.
What's your point? I'm saying
well,
that it would.
The point is, I think you're speculating. I have reality, and you have speculation.
You have
my reality.
I haven't heard one fact out of it tonight. And most journalists.
Tiger Woods has left golf. Tiger Woods has left golf.
That's,
we know that.
That's a fact. That's
it's the result that he has lost advertisers. We know he lost advertisers.
Correct
we know
me
that.
I'm wrong, but the PGA right. has taken no action whatsoever against Tiger Woods.
The PGA is in bed with the advertisers. Don't you know? You must know. You must
right.
know the PGA.
Will you let me talk? We've heard enough of you for tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they put that Jewish lady. She wants to be put in the fire oven.
I don't want. Yeah, let's not go there.
Well, that lady doesn't like the fire hose image, but if I put her in an oven,
just go ahead, sir.
What about the cyber oven?
Tiger Woods has been on the PGA Tour for 12 years. During that time, he's not only established himself as the premier golfer in the world, but he is respected or has been respected and admired by the whole golfing community. And keep in mind,
except for Fuzzy Zeller,
community is white.
Fuzzy Zeller said he wanted to have chicken and watermelon at the Masters
Woods,
dinner, didn't he?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Remember that?
Will you listen to
you
me
know,
for a second?
Tiger do you Woods know that commands, Fuzzy Zeller said he wanted to have chicken or not? You know he said that,
Tiger
right?
Tiger Woods commands billions of dollars from Nike.
Fuzzy Zeller is Fuzzy Zeller's a liar.
I love it.
Phil Henry.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that is like off the hook and through the looking glass of talk radio. Joining us for another hour here, or a couple of segments anyway, Gerald Wilson has graciously agreed to remain with us because we're talking about something that is, as I said at the beginning of last hour, the story, it won't go, not that I want it to go away. The fact is, people are fascinated by Tiger Woods. They're fascinated by his career, the success that he's had, the man that he is. We're looking at all kinds of success stories in our country that are unprecedented, and I say that, yes, from the standpoint of race. This is the single most successful black golfer in history. And not only is he a successful black golfer, this guy is the single most successful golfer in history. He has blown away the legends of the game. And joining me again is Gerald Fisher. And you've made some statements, Gerald, that have been interpreted as highly explosive by our listeners. You said that he has been, quote, cyber fire hosed, that he has been, quote, he's had a cyber German Shepherd set upon him. You're saying that he was forced out, that he didn't do this willingly. And you even went so far as to say that this has something to do with the PGA commissioner and the advertisers. Why can't this just be because this guy screwed up? The image of the family man with the wife and the kids is not true. And that's why he's leaving. He's voluntarily leaving because his reputation's taken a hit.
Because, Phil, as I have said to you on your program, and I've tried to say this to your listener, it has got nothing to do with golf.
But the advertiser thing.
It had nothing to do with golf. Golfers are men, primarily. They love to have a cocktail. They love to talk all the stories and everything. Golfers are some of the most, And I don't think I'm speaking out of school. I think every golfer would know this. Golfers are some of the most sexually promiscuous individuals there are. If you think Tiger Woods is the only one that has a few ladies on the side on a PGA Tour, you're fooling yourself. And then, on top of everything else, people are trying to tell me it's got nothing to do with race. Of course it has everything to do with race when you take into account what Timothy Fincham has done. And
you keep saying that Timothy Fincham forced Tiger Woods to wear lime green, which is a color that black men don't...
Black golfers don't like to wear lime green because it's bad luck. And
What is that about?
It's just some of the black golfers don't want to wear lime green. And Fincham said, Tiger, why don't you go out and wear lime green? Tiger's not going to say anything. He's a young golfer. He wants to stay here. He wants to keep his tour card good. So he goes out in a lime green looking shirt, embarrass himself, embarrass his race. And then we have Fuzzy Zeller. Now, you know what Fuzzy Zeller said. People try to tell me it's not racism. I want you to listen here to this clip. This is Fuzzy Zeller talking about Tiger Woods having fried chicken.
He's doing quite well. Pretty impressive. Little boy's driving it well. He's putting well. He's doing everything it takes to win. So you know what you guys do when he gets in here? Pat him on the back, say congratulations, enjoy it, and tell him not to serve fried chicken next year. Got it.
Yes.
Or collard greens or whatever the hell they serve.
Look at that, our collard green. You hear them racist, those red racist Fuzzy Zeller, who gets away with a name like Fuzzy, which has some kind of sexual connotation, I'm not sure. And yet, people are saying I'm crazy, even though they got a racist named Fuzzy Zeller with his nickname that has something to do with genitalia, I don't know.
You're making a real leap there, man, I'll tell you that.
What, the Fuzzy Zeller racist?
No, the whole thing with his nickname. But, I mean, Fuzzy Zeller apologized for that. Fuzzy Zeller...
Oh, I'm sure he did apologize. Of course he apologized. He's going to apologize. Why do you think he apologized? He apologized so that he can play in the Masters tournament again and be out on the golf course and be with all of his friends. You know, that's why he apologized.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Gerald Fisher, sports writer, on the voluntary withdrawal of Tiger Woods from golf for a while. Here is Charmaine in Hawaii. Charmaine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have to say I'm very offended by what your comments, Gerald Fisher. As a black woman, you cannot dismiss me. You cannot dismiss me by saying I'm Jewish or whatever. What he did is not, the issue with Tiger Woods is not about race. And people of all color get railroaded by the internet. But what you're saying I find offensive as a black person. If anything, it's embarrassing to me to sit here as a black woman and listen to you speak and make it a racial issue.
Well, what am I saying that is embarrassing? What am I saying that is embarrassing to you?
Yeah, maybe you need to replay what you've been talking about. You sound ridiculous.
I just played Fuzzy Zeller. I played Fuzzy Zeller.
Other people
who said,
racist,
let's have fried chicken.
You don't sound that racism
said,
by being racist back. And I have to agree. You sound racist. You sound like a black racist. There are just as many black racist people as white racist people.
Fuzzy Zeller, white man. Fuzzy Zeller's a white man. He said, let's have collard green and chicken and everything.
That is a racist remark, but that doesn't mean it's okay for you to make racist remarks on national radio. You make yourself sound like a fool. And you're embarrassing black people. You're embarrassing me as a black woman. It's embarrassing.
I'm not a black woman. I'm a black man. I'm a black man.
She should take you off there. Well, then, you know what?
You believe in censorship.
You have some dignity, Gerald Fisher, and if you want to defend his actions, which are reprehensible, I don't care what color he is.
I'm not defending his actions, ma'am. What you misunderstand, ma'am, I'm not defending his actions. What I am saying is...
Yeah, maybe he needs to...
He did not voluntarily leave the PGA Tour. You know, black women never shut up. He did not...
Okay, now that's not necessary.
He didn't...
You know, black women always yak.
You don't listen.
You listen to the lady, will you?
She did not listen to me. I never said that the man is... I never said he's a good man. I said he was forced off the tour. He did not voluntarily go.
You know what? I don't care if he was forced off or if he voluntarily went off.
Then you agree.
He needs to deal with his life. And when he gets it together, and when he is sorry, and when he deals with his personal life, I'm sure he'll be fine. He'll be able to come back and play golf and make, you know, not like he ever has to work again anyways. You know, I was very proud of him. I never Google people, but I looked him up because I was very disappointed in his behavior.
I want to ask you,
and I lost the respect for him, and you know, and I lost respect for you listening to you talk, and I really.
I think it's very easy for a black woman who lives in Hawaii to speak the way you do. You live in Hawaii.
I was born in Hawaii. I was born in.
What are you doing over there?
Wait a minute. What does that mean? What is she? What is she doing over there?
What is a black woman doing in Hawaii? I can't feature that.
What are you talking about? Anything. See, look.
Barack Obama was raised in Hawaii.
Another comment, Gerald Fisher. You just made another comment that was black people should live only in black communities.
What is it with black folks are all of a sudden going to... Well, I think it's interesting. Black folks are all of a sudden trying to get off the mainland. I mean, you're all... You're trying to get where?
What are you talking about, man? She lives in Hawaii.
You know what? You know, ma'am... All night on the air made any sense, and you said something else that doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what you're talking about, though. Maybe if you're going to... Take time on national radio to speak your mind. Why don't you, maybe you should articulate and speak in a way that people can understand, and that makes sense because you have no logic in your thinking.
Can I say one thing to you?
Actually, Tiger Woods, you listen to me more than anything else, I have to say that.
Yes, ma'am. Tiger Woods is getting cyber fire hosed by the whites, and as a black woman, used to be on his side as he rolls down a fairway with fire hose water on.
I don't take anyone's side. I'm a black woman, and I didn't vote for Barack Obama. So how do you know? That proves how brainwashed you are. Are you married to a white man? No, because I...
Are you married to a white man?
I'm conservative, because I'm a Christian, and I believe in strong Christian values, and I'm anti-abortion, I'm pro-life, and just like Sarah Palin, and people want to shut me up.
Now, you're married to Tom Selleck. You're married to Tom Selleck.
Who cares who I married to? I can marry whoever I want.
Well, you're married a white man. That's fine, but while you're married to that white man,
what is that?
You got a brother that's getting fire hosed back into his Bentley.
A lot of my brothers are in jail, and also they're acting like Tiger Woods, running around and cheating on their wives. You blame black women that they marry white men? Do you?
Why are you selling out your brother and sister?
Black men are out there. So what? When black?
Oh, that's a cruel thing to say. That is a cruel, and you call me racist. That is cruel. You are selling out your brothers and sisters, and you let Tiger Woods.
You say I'm racist because I didn't vote for Barack Obama. What have you done for?
Why have you allowed the PGA to tie?
Black people have the highest unemployment rate in the nation right now, and he has done nothing for his people. He's the most whitewashed president.
Barack Obama don't play golf. I'm talking about Tiger Woods.
Well, actually, Obama does.
I'm talking about Tiger Woods. I don't vote for people because they're black. I don't like them because they're black or white or whatever.
Fuzzy Zeller tied Tiger Woods to a virtual whipping post.
That's fine.
He caught him running off the 15th green, and they tied him up on a whipping pole and beat him.
Oh, God.
There are white racist people there, but there's black racist people.
You notice all the lime green on TV? You notice that, don't you? All the lime green on TV?
All right.
That's one of the stupidest comments you've made. Who cares what color people wear? What color?
No. It is humiliating for a black
man. Him talking about
no, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, it is humiliating for a black man to wear lime green. You know that.
You're talking to an African American woman. She knows.
I'm telling this sister something she doesn't know because she's been living with that white man over on Hilo for so long. She's lost touch with her culture.
Black men are humiliated by the Irish
because they make them wear lime green.
Don't tell me, white man. Don't tell me I'm not black.
Don't tell me that you're not black.
I don't care what you say.
You can't deny you're black. I know you're black. Okay, so don't try to hide it.
She's not trying to hide it.
No, she did. She just said I'm white. She said I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not a black woman.
No, she didn't say that at all.
I don't know what she's talking about.
She said, "Oh, I know you think I'm black, but I'm actually white. Yeah, but I am married to a black man." So I forget what she said.
No, she didn't say that.
I said I'm a black woman, and I'm telling you.
She laughed.
that you're coming across.
All right.
You're coming across making black people look worse by your comments.
You're telling everybody. Yeah, but you see, when you laugh at a black man wearing lime green, you demean him.
I didn't care what
you are. Our women, are demeaning us with lime green flags.
Yes, he is. All right, I'm.
He's laughing.
Good point, Charmaine. Good call, Charmaine. I gotta take a break. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL.
That young lady did not want to listen to sense while black men, proud black men, are being humiliated by these whites at the PGA. She's out on Hilo doing Tom Selleck bidding. And
well, she never said she was married to Tom Selleck or anything like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Gerald Fisher with us for another segment as we talk about Tiger Woods and him leaving golf for the time being. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You know it.
L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah!
He's back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. If you want to watch us perform our show every night, you can do that by going to philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show every night, live streaming audio of our show every night, downloadable as well the next day, a huge archive of great radio. And also visit us at Twitter at twitter.com/philhendryshow, at Facebook, facebook.com/philhendry. And we ain't on MySpace, so... Gerald Fisher, sports writer, independent sports writer, freelance sports writer. We're talking about Tiger Woods. You said you wanted to make a statement about this, the Christy Kehr, is that it?
Yeah, Christy Kehr is a Jewish golfer. Now, I had two Jewish ladies call, and I spoke with them about a half hour ago here on a program, Phil. And these ladies had taken exception to me saying that Tiger Woods had been cyber whipped. Have been tied to a whipping post and cyber whip after Fuzzy Zeller said, "Boy, you best get now." And
Fuzzy Zeller never said that. You're saying that
he said, "Go get them collard greens."
I know what he said, but he apologized. Tiger accepted his apology. Let's stick to the point.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick to the point, and my point is this: if I'm not allowed to say that he got cyber whipped, then how would those two ladies, those two Jewish ladies, like it if I said that I want to put Christy Kehr in a worldwide web oven? I don't think they'd like that at all. I don't think either one of them ladies would like it if I said I want to take a Sean Green or the L.A. Dodger, or I want to take any Jewish athlete, Mark Spitz, and I want to slide them into a virtual reality, a man of radar range. I don't want to do that, you know.
I don't understand that, man, because if they find your terminology about Tiger Woods being virtually fire hosed and having a virtual German Shepherd set upon him, then why would you say that you want to put Sean Green in a
worldwide web oven? I said I do not want him there. That's what I'm trying to say. I would stand up for Sean Green if someone want to put him in a worldwide web oven.
Well, nobody's talking about that.
You don't get it.
No, I do get it. No one's talking. I don't agree with you when you say that Tiger Woods has been, quote, you know, cyber fire hosed or had a virtual German Shepherd set on him. Here's Rachel on the Phil Hendry Show. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hello.
You know, talking to you, man, I might as well be talking to a brick wall.
Back at you, man. Go ahead, Rachel.
I just can't believe that this has been made out to be a race issue. It's not a race issue. It's a cheating issue. It has nothing to do with the sports. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything.
Well, then how come they drove him out of this? How come he's not playing golf then? If it's just about him being unfaithful, how come this man has been forced out by the Irish that run a PGA?
What is this Irish thing?
Forced out by the Irish. He's chosen to take a leave of absence from his job.
Yeah, sure. Okay, if you want to believe that, you go right ahead.
Okay, and by the way, I think lime green looks very, very flattering on any person of color.
Unfortunately, that's not how we feel as black men.
Really?
You know.
Well, yeah. I don't know where the whole Irish thing
you heard,
with the whole lime.
I had a young lady. Well, I just had a young lady who is a black woman. She was calling from Hilo, Hawaii.
Yes,
and she knows, all right, you heard her say, she said we got to get over our fear of lime green.
She never said it was offensive in any way. I was definitely listening. I listened to
this. No, she didn't think it was offensive. She said that black men need to get over their fear of lime green. That's what she said.
Well, she didn't say that it was offensive by any means.
Not to her. She's a woman. Apparently, you ladies do not understand what I'm saying. I said this about black men don't want to wear lime green. We're afraid of it.
It's not offensive to her color in any way. It's not what she said.
It's not offensive to her. It's not.
No, the lady's saying that lime green, basically that you know that lady, the girl that we talked to, Charmaine, said that lime green is not offensive to black men.
And she's a black man how? She knows why. She's living with a white man over there.
Very flattering color.
Lady, are you Jewish? Even if you were, I would keep you out of a World Wide Web oven.
My religion, my sex,
you have selective hearing. You have
nothing to do with it. It has
you have selective hearing.
The only thing that has to do with is that he cheated. That's it. It's
then why is the man? Then how come the man's not playing golf?
Because
I'll tell you why.
The deal with his family.
Yeah. In other words, his wife is bitching at him, and will
it
ruin his life.
Either.
His wife is bitching on him and is hanging on him and tying him to a whipping post. Doesn't she understand? Does that woman understand? Doesn't that woman understand that if that man is not out playing golf?
Because he cheated on her.
Doesn't that man understand? A woman understand that if that man is not out playing golf, she is not going to get. She's not going to get her hair extension. She's not going to get her hair braided.
She
is not out playing golf to earn a living.
Okay.
The only way she's going to be degraded if he doesn't earn enough money for her to get those Bahamian hair weaves, and she won't get that nice tight weave. Yeah, well, she's a white woman wearing a weave, and I think that's wrong. That's very wrong.
Bill Hendry Show.
About that, too.
Gerald Fisher is with me. More of your phone calls in just a second here at 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Fisher is a freelance writer, sports writer, sports journalist, has covered not only Tiger Woods' career, but has been some 26 years covering professional golf. What the column that you wrote last week and that you filed is with AP is pretty explosive. It's called Call It the Massa.
That is correct, yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, without Tiger Woods, and if I was Tiger Woods, I would say, when I come back from my retirement, I am not playing in your massa. And we'll see just how long your massa survived without a big name like Tiger Woods. I think he should boycott a significant number of tournaments. I think he should boycott the tournaments that they need his name recognition in. And I definitely think that he should boycott the Masters because the name is offensive. It is not the Masters anyway without Tiger Woods. And they might as well call it Masters because the way they're treating Tiger Woods, this man would have to go to the little cottage where they put a green jacket. See, again, everybody said, what you talk about green? Tiger Woods hate wearing that green jacket, but they make him because they think it's funny. And
Tiger Woods has worn the green jacket many times. He's looked very, very happy.
Yeah, he's gritting his teeth. He's putting it on. He knows he looks like a clown. And every black man looking at that feels sorry for him. And the white man in that cottage that they call Massa's Cottage or whatever they call it.
They don't call it that at all. I mean, you know, you're now beginning to make things up.
Oh, I'm not making anything up.
Well, calling the tournament the Massa does what for Tiger Woods?
It tells everybody that without Tiger Woods, you might as well call it the Mess. How about that? Does that make you feel better? Does that ring your bell? I'll go back and I'll rewrite the column and I'll just call it One Big Foul-Smelling Mess. The you know...
Well, okay, 877, it just didn't make any sense to me. 877-876-PHIL. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher.
Hey, Phil, I really don't know where to start.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask what this racist pig you've got on there.
Hey, I'm not calling you any names. I'm not calling you a name. You got to start off calling me a name? Is that it? Is that how you want this to go? You want to call you a redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck?
But I should.
Huh? I can't hear you over your CB radio, man. I can't hear you over that CB.
With the way you talk to that lady from Hawaii, I guess you're a male chauvinist pig too. And since you're such a
you sound like
fashion.
You sound like a dumb tobacco juice swallowing cracker. What you feel like? Feel good about that?
At least I'm not just a hillbilly that interrupts people while they're
speaking. No. You are a hillbilly. You are a hillbilly. You tell me to shut up. No white man tell me to shut up.
All right, come on. God.
I can't.
Listen, come on here, call me a name and all that stuff, and I'll tell you to talk.
Go ahead. Larry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let him go ahead. You won't let me go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Larry.
How come you let the white man go?
Put this, yeah.
He can't keep his mouth shut. No wonder he can't hear anything. Since he's such a fashion expert, I guess he wants Tiger to wear a shirt that's about three times too long, comes down to his knees, his pants, showing half his butt crack. Would that be better?
What is that?
I'm making a call.
What do you mean you're making a call? I got a gentleman on the phone that I want you to listen to.
I'm listening to the man.
He's probably. I got to get
a wake up call tomorrow morning.
Look, Mr. Fisher, you're my guest on a radio show. You have a gentleman here that's on the line. Have some respect. Don't use your phone while a man is talking.
This man going to tell me that black men like lime green. Maybe he likes to wear lime green, and I feel sorry for him if he does.
Oh, I asked you a question. Since you're such a fashion expert, would you rather see Tiger George? See, he can't understand English. He does. If you ask him an intelligent question, he can't respond to it.
What question have you asked me, man, that I have not answered? Wait, give me a question, any question.
Okay, you say lime green looks bad on a black shirt. Would you rather for Tiger to have a long shirt on and shorts showing half his butt on when he's on the national TV after he just won a golf tournament?
So I don't understand. What's that mean, shorts half his butt? What's that mean? I don't understand what that means.
Apparently half his butt. You don't. You're living in the dark ages.
That's the way black men dress. Is that the way black men dress? There we go. Okay. So you are.
Seen a black man with shorts halfway down his butt.
I've seen white men dress that way.
I asked you a question. Can you answer yes or no?
No, I never have. I've seen white men.
Phil, this is a good show because I know this has got ratings, brother. But I've never called it.
Hey, this cracker here. Trying to tell me how a black man dresses. How many black men you seen anyway, okay? I know how a white man dresses.
I never have seen a black
Y'all wear, y'all wear a seersucker suit, you know, and you got those floodwear pants, and you got the clodhopper boots, and, you know.
I don't know. I've never seen a white or a black man. I'm living like you. I've got my eyes closed.
I know. No, I think you just don't own a mirror, that's all.
You're such a joke to society.
No, you're a joke to the human race.
You're a freelance writer because you can't do anything else.
I think you're a joke to the human race.
I may be a joke to the human race.
And all 25 of your kids.
But I'm not a racist. You talk, they'll show me.
That's on account of black men wear their shorts halfway down the crack of their ass. You spend a lot of time looking at a black man's ass?
That's what you
spend a lot of time. Look at this man. Look at other man's ass. How about that? Look at that man. You know, used to go outside and make sure the still isn't overflowing, you know, because I bet you anything the revenue on his way. What do you think?
You know what?
You know what, man? You know, later for you, man. You know, later
you know
for you.
How many people, you know how many people listen to this radio station think you're a complete joke?
I think there are a lot of people laughing at you, too.
I think a lot of people saying,
why is this man, why is this man spend all that time looking at another man's butt?
You're nothing but a racist pig.
No.
That's all you are, is a racist pig. I'm calling you that, and I'm laughing at you because I think you're a joke. You said, told that woman not to laugh at you. I'm laughing at you.
No, okay. You cannot laugh at me. You're not allowed to laugh at me.
Yeah, I am. You can't.
You're not. No.
But it does not make any difference what color you are because you're a joke.
Yes, it does. No, you don't like the fact a black man got a sports writing job, and you are still looking at that still, seeing if you can make enough money for a car payment.
I know. I'm getting wealthy. I don't have any money at all.
Oh, that man, that is sad. And here I am paying for your ass. My tax dollar is going to pay for your ass.
I've got 25 kids, I think you said. No, actually, I've got 30. Let's go ahead and up it to 30, okay?
You mean you got to ask me how many kids you got? Okay.
You're the one that told me I had 25.
Right, because I fathered half of them.
All right, what is the point of all of this, huh? What is the point of this?
This guy called up, and he's trying to tell me all about lime green shirts. And other things, everything.
You know, these guys
and this dummy, and he's sucking on that. I don't know what, probably carbon monoxide is what his problem is with a raccoon cage in the front seat.
What the hell are you? I think the there's no conversation here.
Yeah, that's what I think of your phone call. Do you hear that? Hey.
Well, this guy is a basic pig, and he has the manners of a possum. I mean, it's just, that's just the way
I don't know. I don't know. I never went out to dinner with a possum like you have.
You've got I never took a possum out.
No, you're not. You can't laugh at me.
You're not allowed to laugh at a man that's...
I'm paying your welfare check. You can't laugh at me.
Well, I appreciate it, too.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anymore?
No, you got
to
hang up.
Anything else to say, Einstein?
Yeah, I do.
Brilliant.
You got to hang up. You have to hang up because I'm the guest you're calling. I get lost.
I'll make that decision. Thank you very much.
No, you won't make that decision. So I'm telling him to get lost. Hang up.
Well, I'm not lost. I'm found, brother. I found myself a long time ago, and I don't live in a racist world back in the 50s and 60s like you're doing.
Then how come you still, if that's true, you're still using and washing in rainwater in a barrel outside instead of get yourself some PVC pipe and get some of that good central water coming through, you know? And the other thing you ought
to
do is petition that senator that you got and buy yourself a real washing machine. Instead of squeezing it onto that hand crank thing, you know?
You are
that Confederate flag that you wipe your armpit with.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your phone calls.
Well,
thank you very much. Thank you, sir. And all I can tell you is...
You don't expect me to take a guy like that seriously, do you?
You baited the guy the whole way. From the beginning... Tiger Woods in a virtual whipping post, and I don't want to put any Jews in a worldwide web oven. And then we're moving on to, you know, the Irishman that runs the PGA is humiliating Tiger Woods because he's making him wear lime green. And on and on and on it went until I couldn't take it any longer.
What are you looking at me for?
Nothing. I'm just... We thank Mr. Gerald Fisher, and you can read his online blog at your leisure. All right, coming up, check us out on Twitter, by the way, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Also, we're at Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry, and our website, philhendryshow.com, The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, wait, hold on. I want to get my website out, man. My website.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Chest pains may signal cocaine use in young patients. Check that out. If you are young and you're getting chest pains, you're using coke, even if you never have. Somebody been feeding it to me in my sleep? No, seriously, cocaine use can sometimes be the hidden culprit when young or otherwise healthy patients complain to doctors of chest pains. Be careful what you tell your doctor, because could be a little bit of angina, could be a little of something. For patients with a suspected heart attack, doctors need to rule out coke use because exposure to the drug can affect their treatment, according to a study of a committee. And by the way, the doctor who was the chairman of this committee, Dr. James McCord, same name of the guy that busted into the Watergate back in 1970, just a little bit of historical.
Yeah, it's great.
Increased blood pressure due to recent coke use can increase the risk of bleeding into the brain. Cocaine, no good, baby. No hope with dope. No hope with dope, man. You got to get off that. That's too expensive anyway. Now, pot, on the other hand, even though I've never tried it, they tell me it's really good. Meanwhile, about 1,000 kids, now this is a very good study being done in Great Britain, about 1,000 children as young as 10 are going to be identified as at risk of becoming criminals and will be subject to intensive one-to-one mentoring and training under new plans unveiled yesterday. Schools, social workers, and doctors will be asked to identify pupils whose behavior is threatening to become criminal. And these kids will be assigned to a mentor described by ministers yesterday as an assertive and persistent key worker and made to sign contracts promising to mend their ways. So this is the first I've ever heard of any study, or any effort, I should say, at identifying at a very young age kids who might become prone to a criminal life and trying to literally, with a hands-on approach, change their behavior. This is a £218 million, 3-year package aimed at intervening early enough to stop kids adopting criminal behavior. The ministers in the cabinet of the whole thing that they do in England, I don't know, said the measure would be non-negotiable for children and families about which authorities have concerns. If they don't commit to the program, they will face the consequences and possible legal action such as antisocial behavior orders, according to the Department of Children, School, and Families. So they're gonna make the parents as well culpable in the failure of these kids if they do, in fact, fail. Now, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work, and maybe there are some Orwellian aspects to it, but there's a real need to get into the lives of kids, no matter where they are, America, Great Britain, and get into their lives early enough, identify if they are seriously at risk in terms of this antisocial behavior, and begin to do something about it. Now, you know that the FBI, and we're not talking about a group of psychiatrists, the FBI can tell you what to look for in a potential serial murderer, for instance. Now, if you've got, say, a 12-year-old kid who likes to abuse animals, set fires, and wets his bed, you get his DNA to the FBI, because that is what they call that homicidal triangle that we talk about. And there's a likelihood this kid is on his way to just psycho heaven. You know, there's a way to deal with the crime problem. You got to deal with it where it really starts. It's with kids. Now, if it sounds like a bunch of socially liberal crap, well, I dare anybody to come up with a better idea. I mean, I dare them. We need more prisons. Yeah, okay, fine. And we need more laws that restrict. All right, I'm with that. And that'll cure the problem. No, it will not cure the problem. See, right there, that's where you fell down. You were going good when you did the prisons and the crime and, you know, more laws. Now, what else?
Well, we have to have the law.
No, see, you blew it, Jack. It ain't going to happen with just more prisons and more laws. There's got to be something in the efforts of society to find these kids. What do you want?
I got a call on the line. Let's talk about criminal behavior.
All right, let's go to a phone call now in Minneapolis. Oh.
Yeah.
It's Gary. Hi, Gary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. I wanted to talk to you about my new blog, and I've just got it up on myspace.com at Gary Dupree. That's me, / Gary Dupree. That's me. And it's a new blog that I think you'd be really interested in hearing about. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me.
All right, Gary. I was in the middle of talking. Bud shouldn't have taken your call. I was in the middle here of talking about crime.
Well, hi, Phil. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm nervous. Hi, Phil. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. That's what I wanted to talk about. Because my blog talks about Clarence Thomas and why he never speaks. And I'm Gary Dupree, that's me.
What has that got to do, Gary, with what I'm talking about, crime?
Well, because Clarence Thomas never speaks on a... Wait a minute. Hi, Phil, this is Gary Dupree, that's me.
Well, let me ask you a question here, Gary, okay?
I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. What question do you want to ask?
Why do you got to start everything off with that, man?
Don't yell at him.
Hold on.
I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. I'm Gary Dupree, that's me.
Hold on. Hold the line, okay?
I'm Gary Dupree, that's me.
Hold on for a minute, what?
You can't do that, he's OCD. You'll short-circuit him.
What do you put this nut up for, man?
He loves your show. Be more compassionate, like Obama said.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you very much. I should be more compassionate.
Here's what Obama said. You ought to do it.
Whatever. I'm sorry, Gary. I apologize. Tell me about how Clarence Thomas not talking has something to do with the crime wave. And where are you, by the way? Because I'm hearing...
Oh, I'm Gary Dupree. That's me, Phil. I'm at my pond.
You're at your pond?
Hi, Phil. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. Yes, we have a pond here on the back edge of our property. We border White Bear Lake out here in St. Paul. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me.
You're at a pond near your property. All right, Gary, so what's the...
I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. Clarence Thomas has not talked for many years, and I believe that he is keeping something inside that could be a criminal problem if it's not addressed. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me.
What criminal problem?
I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. I think he's still upset about the pubic hair on the Coke can, and I can understand, and my blog is going to be about that. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me.
The pubic hair on the Coke can. Are you telling me that he is still worried about... He's still thinking about his nomination, the appointment hearings in the Senate?
I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. I think he's still very upset that woman slandered him and said that I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. She said there was a pubic hair in a Coke can, and he made a joke about it. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me.
All right. So what do you think? He's going to...
I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. I think he's probably seething, and that's why he hasn't spoken. I think if you were to ask him... Judge Thomas, what are you talking or thinking about? I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. Judge Thomas, what are you thinking about when you are sitting there not saying anything? Are you thinking about the gun ban? And I think he would say, and I'm going to do an impression now. I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. I do impressions. Well, I think that pubic hair...
All right, Gary, no impressions, okay?
I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. I'm Gary Dupree, that's me.
Gary, no impressions.
No, you can't do it. You short-circuited him.
Gary, I'm sorry, okay?
I'm Gary Dupree, that's me.
Gary, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're going to short-circuit a guy. Don't ever yell at him.
Don't tell me what to do.
I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. I'm Gary Dupree.
Put him on hold for a minute. What are you trying to do to this show? Well, I got to talk. Do I look like Dr. Laura here? I'm dealing with some guy with OCD. The guy's talking. Now he's doing the most racist, offensive impression.
You got to let him just work his way back into society. He has never been laid.
What, is that a disease all of a sudden? I don't care if he's never been laid. Is that my joke? Gary, I apologize, man.
I'm Gary Dupree.
I apologize, Gary. Tell me about Justice Thomas hasn't spoken because he's still burning up over the pubic hair on the Coke can.
I'm Gary Dupree. That's me. He's angry about that. And if I were talking to Justice Thomas, and if you go to Gary Dupree, that's me. If you go to MySpace.com. Hi, Phil, I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. If you go to www.myspace.com/Gary Dupree, that's me. You'll hear me, Phil, or someday, as soon as I'm Gary Dupree, that's me.